welcome to One Nation Radio. And now, here are your hosts, Rich Latta and James Floyd. And thank you for listening.
One Nation Sports.
Yo, what's good? This is Wale, and this is One Nation Radio. You already know.
Welcome to One Nation Radio. This is Rich Latta. I'm sitting here with James Boyd. James, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I think, you know, after enough jokes, we can finally proceed with this podcast.
Yeah.
Enough jokes.
Sitting here wearing a Jason A. Roberts t-shirt.
And that, you know, caused a lot of hilarity, that's all.
And also, we played the music, you know.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Jake. Monday Night Raw and all that.
Real quick, before we get to that. Jake the Snake will never die.
Yeah. Jake the Snake.
I don't mean his legacy. I mean that person will never ever die. We will never bury that guy.
Yeah.
He survived a lot. Now let's just go ahead and go on.
You know, Jake the Snake once took 100 pills and lived.
Yeah, exactly.
Enough said. Shouts out to Jake. As we're getting, you know, 1 week closer to Battleground, which I'll be in attendance at, ding. I'm trying to find ways to get excited about it.
Why are you not excited?
It's just, you know, I feel like I already know what, you know, what the main event's already going to, you know, Cena's going to win. You know, I don't have a problem with Cena winning, but it's just, you know, pretty predictable. We've got Rollins and Ambrose. I think they're the hottest feud going right now.
It has the most oomph to it because they've been at it for, you know, about a month or so now.
I wonder if they get some type of gimmick match going. Like, they throw the ladder up there, or do they have, like, a hardcore match?
You mean like a Money in the Bank ladder match, one-on-one,
yeah.
Basically, and you got to go up there to get it?
Yep.
Basically, what we wanted to happen between
Sandow
and Cody Rhodes last year?
Yeah. speaking of Sandow, man, Damian Sandhart.
Yeah.
That
was a terrible impersonation. Terrible.
I think it would have been better if he would have came out as Sean.
Yeah, you mentioned that to me, and so I think I saw it on Twitter. That would have been extra funny.
Yeah.
And
but I came out to screw you.
Wouldn't have been able to see him, man, really in a sharpshooter until the end of time. They probably could have went dark with that.
Right.
But you know, him coming out as Bret was kind of funny, except for the one part. Like, you can't come out as in your prime Bret Hart dressed up in ring attire with dry hair. I don't care if it's a wig or not. Like,
yep.
Worst come to worst, you go holler at Kane about how to make a wig look wet. You know, make it look realistic. You go holler at Kane. He's the king of having a wet ass wig that looks realistic.
Like, I bet you didn't know that. That shit's not wet. That's just how it is. Like, they sold this shit like that.
Really? Really?
I don't know. I'm just shooting. I missed the first hour of Monday Night Raw tonight, so yes, I'm going to be talking on a wrestling podcast about something I didn't actually see. Why? Because we're almost professionals at this shit.
I mean,
James, your impressions of the Usos and the Wyatt match you were telling me about.
Great match. It's they get into the ring and magic happens. The same thing. I feel the same way whenever Del Rio and Ziggler get in the ring together. Good things are going to happen and you give enough time and you don't botch the finish with overbooking.
AJ Lee.
Yeah, that's depressing. But for me, the open of the show, I mean, I think I told you a little bit about it. Reigns comes down. He talks. He talks about the pay per view coming up and the triple or the quadruple. The fatal four way. I almost called it a quadruple threat match.
Wrong with that.
He says I can neutralize. You know, people think I'm assuming he put me into the match because Triple H put me in the match because he wants to play games. He thinks that I can neutralize Cena, which I can, and then Kane can take care of me, which he can't, and then that leaves Randy Orton to sneak off with the belt, but he's that's not going to happen. Then Kane comes out, all mad. Now the Authority are on vacation or whatever they're actually doing in real life.
Yeah.
And
They don't go out the country. That's
anyway,
all that is.
So then after that,
Montreal?
Kane comes down, and Reigns calls him Randy Orton's bitch. He comes down the ramp. Reigns comes out halfway, and they start tussling. then next thing you know, it was just fun because he had 3 seconds in the show.
Mm-hmm.
He got involved in the main event. He was in the open, and he had a backstage little segment with Cena. And
is the Superman punch the hottest shit going right now?
Probably, yeah. For me personally, I think the hottest shit going is actually like the setup and the action before the Superman punch, where he does like the almost like the superhero coming falling from the sky, Superman landing on a knee and a fist,
yeah.
And then before he even does it, he does the like his hand, fist is a gun, he cocks it.
Yeah,
I find that the fantastic. But for me, I feel like this was like the almost like the beta run. Like, we're gonna let you. This is your night. And let's see how you do with this, because you want to see this is the most we've ever given you. We gave you 3 segments. You want to see how you do? He did very well.
Yeah. When he came out at the end, like I was like, "Where's Reigns?"
Yeah,
going
that's
started,
what I was
like,
too.
So it's like he's getting there.
It reminds me a lot of what they're doing with Cena and him. It reminds me a lot of the Triple H Batista type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there for it, but when they were showing the previews for their matches, about how he was like, Batista was constantly one-upping him.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. And that's what it looks like.
And the cussing. They saved that, you know, for guys they want, you know, to really draw a nice little pop.
Well, basically for me, what I think it is kind of like, you know, when everything was so wild in the Attitude Era, was you know, the crazy high spots and people are going to die and the gratuitous, the vulgar language. You have to bring that kind of stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, Orange is the New Black TV show. It's a great show, but when someone gets locked, it's a lot different. It seems like it matters more than if it was a max security prison as opposed to a minimum security prison, because then that stuff doesn't happen as much.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, you'd just be desensitized to it. So, like, when someone cusses and says, I'm going to whoop your ass or call someone, you know.
A bitch.
Yeah, it means so much more. It just means so much more.
You're acting like a bitch. You know, it's just, you know, it's something different.
Yeah.
You know, we got also last night, I see Rusev kick Rob Van Dam's ass, apparently.
They made a match. It wasn't a squash match, but yeah, he got beat convincingly.
I heard Lana was out there getting her to boo her in Canada.
Yeah, she didn't do any USA Vladimir Putin thing, and she didn't get her walkout like she does, you know, which is might be the highlight of the night every night. But they got enough heat on her and him. Like, the match was, most people, and me personally, it was a pretty boring match. It's probably the most boring match I've ever seen the RBD have. I mean,
Rob Van Dam.
Look, at the end of the night, but it, you know, when it came to the end, he super kicked him, and it kind of saved the match. Like,
yeah.
It don't matter how bad the Rusev matches are. He does that jumping super kick, and it saves the match. It's just like throwing Cameron at
the album.
Yeah, it's like throwing,
Cameron
on the album that they thought was going to suck, that Kanye did, that they thought was going to suck, and like, throw Cameron on it and save the album.
Yeah.
It'll save the match with the super kick.
Yep. Then we get Randy Orton and Dean Ambrose. Yes, very good. I walked in halfway. Like, I finally got off work, walked in. That match is in progress. I was like, oh, they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, you know, the internet had a problem with, you know, the way, you know, it went down. Ambrose taking a clean loss. I'd like to explain to them why he lost. If you guys don't know. There's a Battleground pay-per-view coming up, and in the main event, Randy Orton will be fighting for the belt, the title, you know, so, you know, him losing really doesn't make much sense there, you know, if you guys want to, I hate to sound preachy or anything.
Condescending
or,
is what the word you're going for.
Yeah, and, but, you know.
I appreciate the fact you're being condescending, because if you think Randy Orton is supposed to lose to Dean Ambrose right now, when there's no feud going, other than like a roll up or something like that, like what's going on with Kofi Kingston and Cesaro, then I don't know what to tell you.
Like, you ain't as smart as you think
you
are.
You just haven't watched wrestling enough. you haven't watched enough wrestling to know how this goes. Like, they set up guys that, like,
and so we're here to educate you.
The kayfabe ranking meter of, like, Randy Orton is a better wrestler kayfabe wise than Ambrose is or ever has been.
You remember? You remember the old PWI rankings? Like,
Randy
back
Orton
in the day?
Will be above him. Like, yeah, he'll be ranked higher than him or lower than him, whatever means he's better. Whichever one, yes.
Like, you don't beat nobody that's above you like that.
Yeah.
He's still out there in the jeans. You know, Titty Master, Crazy Man Ambrose, like he's Crazy so Crazy Man Titty Master out there. He's so entertaining. He's just an absolute wild man. He was throwing all those steel chairs into the ring
for no reason.
No reason. Like, but it's
what kind of psychology is this?
It's so good. It doesn't matter almost.
A lot of people are saying like that's like some ECW shit. Just flip them up. Like last person I remember flipping them up was Big Show against Brock Lesnar, right, at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
He just flipping chairs and just
throw it up.
Why not?
But they had a pretty good match, and I thought that was they should have saved that. That's a pay per view match. People would have paid to see Orton versus Ambrose.
They'll come back to it in about 6 months.
Right. Yeah. Wasn't this a mid-card match? Oh, that's closing the show.
Like, trust me, they will be wrestling each other. Like, all those new guys, just like Cena, we always say Cena's pretty much just, he's co-opting and appropriating these dudes as hot at the time and coming in, like, get these matches. Same thing when, like, someone like Jericho comes back, and like, oh, yeah, we got a match. Eventually, he has to wrestle this dude because it's probably going to end up on a DVD. Yeah. Same thing with Orton. He's gonna have the rest.
Speaking of that,
Seth Rollins and them.
They're finally dropping a John Cena DVD, but it's gonna be a little bit about like the Shawn Michaels My Journey one. He's gonna be telling a story between each match. So we're gonna do something like that.
Then whenever he finally does wrap it up, they'll do a whole big thing like
and declare him the greatest superstar of all time.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, they're already pushing it really hard on air. John Cena's the greatest WWE champion of all time. Like Michael Cole.
Who said that, Cole or JBL?
Cole kept saying it over and over and over. And Jim Ross came out on Twitter and was like, they don't need to be doing that because it's like forced and that doesn't do Cena any favors.
The one thing it's not going to do any favors is, one, like, look. It just moves faster. It just does.
Yes.
You can't have anybody on a run like how Hogan did in the 80s. You just can't. Where they just don't lose ever forever, and then they you know what I'm saying?
Like I made the joke like nowadays, like or not really a joke, it's just an astute observation. The way wrestling is going right now, think about it is like double time speed. Like
compared to like our childhood. Yeah.
Yeah. For example, like right now. 2011 would be like 6 years ago. But think about it. WrestleMania 30 was this year. Think about how far back WrestleMania 25 seems.
We weren't even watching 25.
Exactly. Think about how far WrestleMania 27 is away.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, 3 months feels like 6 months. Just, you know, double up the time period. And that's how fast you would get things in the old days, pretty much. And that's, you know, that gap is shrunk now.
Given all the matches, all the extra airplay on TV,
12 pay-per-views a year.
Yeah.
Shit just moves faster.
It really does.
And guys are gonna run through belts. Like, Kofi Kingston's held every belt except, you know, the big belts.
Yeah. He's been,
a
five-time Intercontinental Champion?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Or four-time Intercontinental Champion, United States
he's
Champion,
won a bunch
Tag
of US
Team
US
Champion.
Yeah.
Like, he's like one of the most,
him
kayfabe-wise, yeah.
Air Boom.
Kayfabe-wise, he's like one of the most decorated guys ever.
Yep. And we have nothing for him right now.
Yeah.
Other than get whooped by Cesaro.
That's setting up to be nasty whenever that goes down.
Right now, other than, I don't know really what that does for Cesaro, other than, like, just, you know, he's getting rolled up on. Like, it's cool that, you know, I guess Kofi now is the 1-2-3 kid. But I don't know what that really does for Cesaro, other than, like, yeah, he's so strong, he beats the hell out of this dude after he loses.
Yeah,
I mean, they're just trying to bid time until he gets into the Battle Royal, which is, you know, the third Battle Royal, you know, of the year.
Speaking of that,
the third major battle royal of the year.
Battle royal. Why can't we just get another tournament?
I think it's because it was so close. I think me and you talked about this.
Yeah.
Because it was so close to when Wade Barrett won it. And right. It was one thing interesting. I saw a meme about it, and I never really thought about it. And then it's like, oh yeah, it's a great point. Daniel Bryan gets stripped of the title because of injury. We bitch about it. Wade Barrett gets stripped. Because of injury, no one even cared. Oh, okay. Holla. It pretty much, okay, holler.
Yeah. Really, like, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I love that. I love when Triple H does it. He's like, it's so funny because he says it before. He's like, I love doing this. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Oh, man.
Is it setting up for Cesaro to win this? I said all that to say that.
I don't know. I mean, was it tiny people in at 20?
20.
Who are the people that are, who are the people that are in there already?
Really don't know. I think Del Rio, Ziggler.
Yeah, of course, the usual suspects. Yeah, the usual suspects. Yes, you are correct.
The mid-card mafia, you know. The
mid-card mafia.
As I'm calling them.
Wow. Don't ever hashtag MCM on Instagram or Twitter. you'll live to regret it. Mid-card mafia. All right. Yeah. Yeah, man crush money or whatever. But anyway, yeah.
Seen them, but dude with their shirt off out there. I mean, I'm good.
I mean, it'll be a step up because last time he had a belt was the U.S. title.
Yeah.
He could, you know, he'd be a nice little spot for him. He can help legitimize the title, which we always talk about legitimizing the IC title.
Yeah. But maybe I think it's pretty legit now.
I think he'd actually really. Oh, I mean, Wade Barrett, much to all the shit we've given him
yeah.
over his career since we started watching again, he's done really good. Since this IC tournament, he's done really good.
Because at the time I wasn't a fan of him winning it.
We never said he wasn't good. Rather, just said he had nothing going for him. And then like we thought, okay, he's a stand-up comedian based on Sammy. We got bad news. Like, what can you really turn that into? And it turned into. I'm just gonna go back to just outlasting MFers. So it's just, or you know, the match he had with Sheamus in that tournament, the RBD match. He did a lot of good stuff, and he was well on his way. And you know, I actually now feel bad that this has happened to him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the second big injury he's had. He's gonna miss a lot of time.
Well, I just all Wade Barrett has to do. Is believe.
God damn it, I knew you. You are a jerk.
All he has to do to come back stronger than ever is believe.
Wow.
Bo Dallas comes out last night and whoops on El Torito.
Yeah, he's fighting midgets. And he turned heel in the process. He got heated. He saw it beat up, I don't know if that was Epico or Primo, whatever their names are going by. I think that was Epico, actually. Okay, what are their, like, names now?
Fernando and Diego.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Epico.
And what's Epico in this gimmick's name?
Diego.
I think. Okay, speaking of that, right?
You know, I'm that guy that knows all type of random facts and times.
Since you don't know,
dates.
We're going to go back. The best match of the night was the opening match. The Usos versus the Wyatts.
Yep.
They end the match on on the finish of their. We don't know which Uso is a legal man, and the one that wasn't legal man got pinned.
Wow.
While the one that's legal is on the outside fighting Eric Rowan, and he comes back and says,
That's funny.
Wrong one, bro. And you know me, we've been talking about this for months and months. We can't tell which one they are. They're different sizes. They got their face painted on different sides of their face.
One of them goes to Naomi.
Look,
still can't.
The one thing they need to do to distinguish themselves is they need to have their name on their shit. Their name on it, like Jimmy, Jay, or one wears a particular color and one wears a different color.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's inversed. Like, if they're wearing purple and green, one wears, like, mostly purple. I'm sorry, green and silver. Mm-hmm. One wears, like, it's mostly green and, like, trim
with silver.
Yeah, their colors
are flipped. They look like home and road jerseys, pretty much.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I don't know if they don't care or if, like, WWE says, nah, we're just going to make it like this. We're going to make y'all anonymous or whatever.
I'm trying to make them boys look like the Killer Bees or the Strike Force. Like,
but I don't understand how that helps them with their branding.
It brands them together. Like, them niggas ain't never gonna break up and go solo.
That's not what I'm just on arguing. Like, look, we've seen both of them talk. I don't think either one of them are gonna ever go solo.
Yeah.
However, like,
Shane
Moose. We knew which Roll Roy was Roll Roy, or which, I'm sorry, which Legion of Doom member was Animal, which one was Hawk.
You know what I'm about to say.
What?
The Usos are better than the Road Warriors.
Oh, they are. That work rate is that's unquestionable. You watch those two matches, you already know. My issue is, they were actually in a fist-to-cuff fight in the back room brawl.
No, not at all.
I'm saying the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking Hog Animal. And yeah. I'm calling, look, and I'm saying, hey, bring your son too. Bring James. But I would just like for them to be able to tell them apart, because for branding purposes, like, if you ever, it helps them out so much better to be able to distinguish. Merch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, their championship or their shirt they have when they're, you know, they're face-to-face and they have, like, you know, opposite sides of the face, so you can tell, like, okay, this one, but
we really don't know.
Like, it's too hard. Like, same hair. The only difference you can tell is one's a slightly doughier than the other one. That's the only real difference.
All right, the one that goes to Naomi is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But that's going to wrap up the first segment of One Nation Radio. We will be back to talk about The Miz versus Jericho versus Bray Wyatt and this whole saga.
The two Divas matches?
Yeah, the Divas division, that all-out brawl that Cameron and Naomi had, that looked like it was a shoot. But yeah. We'll get back to that. This is One Nation Radio. What's going on, listeners of One Nation Radio? While you're enjoying the show, I'm sure you're thinking, man, how can I help One Nation Radio? Well, we have the answers here. There are a few things you can do, and they don't take long at all. First, go to your iTunes and search for One Nation Radio under podcast. Rate us 5 stars and leave a review, and we'll be sure to mention you on the next show. The reason that's important is because it helps populate it in the iTunes system and brings it to a larger audience. Next, follow us on Twitter at One Nation Radio, at DangerRich32 with 2 R's, and at JamesBoydONR. We love hearing from our listeners, and it's paramount to us, releasing the podcast to you faster. One Nation Radio is a global podcast with listeners all over the USA, from Tampa to Wichita, Kansas, to New York, to Tucson, Arizona, Seattle, Washington, anywhere you can think of in the USA. They're locked into One Nation Radio. And abroad, such as the UK, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Ghana, Pakistan, and Canada. Keep listening, thank you for the support, and make sure you guys keep spreading the word about One Nation Radio.
I thank you very much, Booker T. We've seen the intensity of the matches here tonight, and I expect the same thing is going to happen in this four-quarter match.
Let me tell you something, Gene Okun, you out here talking about a click. The only click you need to know about is the Harlem Heat and Sister Sherry. See, because what you're dealing with here is the brotherhood. It's nonstop from this point on in WCW. We take what we want, and after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the cold sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
I should point out for the record, Stevie Ray, look at this. Take a look. We're talking about the rack, the torture rack of Lex Luger. And what about the choke slam of the Giant? These are the things you're going to have to deal with tonight.
What about the Harlem Hangover? What about the Heat Seeker? What about the Tower Inferno? I don't see nobody talking about that. You think we came out here because it's time for Rumble Room, sucker? Well, let me tell you something. When me and my brother go to school, the principal checks out. Lex Luger, Giant. Get ready, because we coming for the gold. That's Hulk Hogan's gold, and you two suckers are in the way. We taking you out one at a time. Now, can you dig it?
I thank you very much. I suspect, Sister Sherry, like many of the...
And welcome back to One Nation Radio. James, did Booker T ever get Hulk Hogan?
No.
Oh, man. We're back. Hope you guys enjoyed our rejoin, and make sure you check out, like I said, the iTunes ratings and all that. So jumping back into it, we get Chris Jericho versus Miz. Chris Jericho won a match. it's such a rare, occasion. I was marking out. I'm cheering for Jericho like a mark out here. And then all of a sudden, Bray Wyatt, comes on out there, and he starts running this fuck box like normal. But yeah. But he sits down on the thing, and Jericho pretty much comes out there, and Jericho, I feel like he's gonna destroy Wyatt on the mic. But he basically gets to the point, and he starts cussing. I'm just gonna kick your ass.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. What did you think of that interaction? I mean, it was fun, and why it got even kind of campy, you know, with the whole, when he did the, he mocked Jericho. I forgot how he mocked him at the beginning, but it was funny. It was pretty campy.
Jericho told that man to shut the hell up.
Yeah, before, what did he do? Not Raw, it's Jericho. He didn't do the Ayatollah Rock and Roller. I can't remember what he did. He did something. It was funny to see he mocked Jericho, and then in turn, Jericho did the same with the classic, "Will you please shut the hell up?" I'm just, you know, as long as they don't bring any kids in a choir out or anything ridiculous like that that made Lexa no sense, then, you know, or it made sense, but, like, they have to do something that makes sense for Jericho, and I don't know what that would be yet. And they just have to get it to the paper. Just get them to the building. Just get them to the building, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
As long as you get them in the building, and it's not, and it doesn't make me want to roll my eyes, I'm cool with it.
Right. Jericho whips out the 2014 Y2J thing, and when Jericho came back last week, it kind of looked like he wasn't in the greatest shape. It looked like that man hit the gym like a madman by the time this Monday rolled around, because he came out like he was in awesome physical condition, it looked like.
He was in good... Are you talking about for what they were talking about on Cheap Heat? Because, he looked fine to me. It's just the fact of, like, you know, same thing with Triple H. You can, when you're that particular age, you can only look but so good.
And then he came back looking like last year's Jericho this week. Well, like he went to the gym for 1 week and got it done.
Well, what probably happened is he just didn't eat such a big meal. Like, yeah. Your gut, you eat a big meal, your stomach pops out. That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whatever. Like, dude has a six pack.
Yeah.
And whether or not his midsection looks like a brick or not, I don't really care. Whatever, like, dude, look, man, we saw Ric Flair wrestle. We saw Ric Flair wrestle like less than 7 years ago, so I'm not really tripping over that.
I'm just blessed, you know, that we can watch Jericho, and this is gonna be my first time seeing Jericho live, so you know I'm gonna be marking out. Moving on, we get Cameron and Naomi. They actually throw down.
Do you want to talk about that first? Or you want to get into AJ and Paige, and they're like, I don't know, what looks like Paige is going to
turn on her.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Cameron and Naomi finally, you know, run it, and it looks as real as it can get.
Well, before the commercial, before we went to, broke out into the second segment, you said it looked like a shoot.
Yes.
Now, you're right. It looked like a shoot until Cameron got on top of Naomi.
Yeah, like that.
Once that happened, I was like, it's a work.
Yeah,
like, cause I don't really think Cameron could whoop Naomi's ass. So
a whole lot of whooping
at the beginning went. Yeah, a whole lot of whooping. So when, you know, Naomi was, you know, they were doing the hair grabbing, and she was, like, throwing strikes like they were, like,
real
cat fighting. I was like, oh, Sharkisha!
Yeah.
But
everybody was saying the referee should have been pulling his camera phone out and yelling World Star. I didn't like that.
Well, you know,
I didn't like that.
You know, they ain't done, but you know.
Yeah. You know, can't have two sisters, you know, running it like that.
No. Not at all. But they're going to have Kelly, you know, jump on people and Luthes press them and shake the hell out of them the whole time back then, 3 years ago. They can do that.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine.
Is this going to lead to a match soon? Because, you know, the pay-per-view's coming up. I don't think they're going to do two Divas matches at Battleground, but they have the storyline set up.
It depends. In the first hour, they had Alicia Fox, and I'm blanking on who she was wrestling.
She wrestled.
I can't remember who she
was. One second.
Like, it was
Nikki Bella.
Yeah, Nikki Bella. Like, that's just basically just keep the storyline of Stephanie and Brie eventually wrestling, like, in the fold. But, like, are they gonna have three segments devoted to Divas wrestling on pay per view? Because, like, they're going to have someone involving Stephanie and Brie going through it. They're going to have AJ and Paige, definitely. You know, AJ and Paige is the A story for the Divas Division.
Yeah.
And then this whole, you know, Cameron and Naomi thing,
I don't know if that... I think probably they get squashed out.
Either that or they just get a Raw match.
That's what I'm saying. I think they get squashed out to like the night before, like go home show.
Yeah, which is a damn shame. But I don't know.
Cameron's not ready for that. If Cameron was better, it would definitely be on the pay per view. But Cameron's not good enough.
Yeah, Naomi out there getting stuck. Like Cameron been tripping Naomi up, you know, all, for months.
Yeah.
But
not as bad as Oksana, but yeah.
Yeah. Naomi's been, you know, dealing with bullshit for a while. Then all of a sudden AJ Lee comes out of nowhere and wins the belt again. So Naomi goes further, you know,
It's not like The Rock going to the back of the line fighting Brooklyn Brawl of the night.
It pretty much is. It's not. You know, you will now start at the bottom. You will fight the Brooklyn Brawler, like yeah, like you know, you go to the back of the line.
I mean,
we get this Paige versus AJ thing. It's like this weird kind of single white female fan.
It's a double turn.
Yeah, it's like
Like she's still playing nice, but you already know. Like we already know this, what's going to happen. You're going to turn on AJ, and we're going to feel bad for AJ, even though AJ's been kicking up this fuck shit for the better part of 2 years now.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure some of our listeners, you know, are huge AJ Lee fans.
I like AJ. I don't have any issue. I like Paige. I like AJ more than Paige. But,
She did come back with a little bit of an improved moveset. I'll give her that. Because I just never, like, got it with her in the ring. Like,
really? You never thought she was good?
I never really...
I've heard people say they don't like her. I don't get it. She deserves to be where she is because of all the storyline she was in for that full year with all those main event guys. And, like, also helping to elevate Dolph. But, and people will say, like, yeah, in the ring, nah. I mean, to me, I haven't really noticed it to where it was like, she's... Granted.
I was like, why are they going so crazy over her? Like, what is she doing?
Because of her main event status. Like, it's almost like, imagine if Elizabeth learned was a wrestler. She would have got the belt. She would have held the belt for a full year, too.
Nah, but you know, like, she gets like that. She's the internet's, like, she gets that. Like, you can't, like, she's untouchable. She gets that.
Okay. There are a lot of circles that overlap. And by the circles that overlap...
And it's crazy because Paige gets that too, so they're almost being forced to, you know, pick one.
I mean, I guess.
You know, and...
I never really thought of it that way, because one is going to be a heel, one's going to be a face, and we all know, like, you just, you know, you might have a favorite or whatever, but you're like, all right, you know what's going to happen. Like, you're going to have a dust off and... Whatever happens, happens. And you already know it's a double switch.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know what this means as far as what happens, you know, after SummerSlam. I don't know what hell happens after SummerSlam. I have a pretty good idea that they're not going to make it a triple threat.
Eventually, they need to. They need to add Naomi.
They're not
going to
do that.
Well, you know, I'm fighting for Naomi, you know, until she gets hers. Look, until they do right by her.
That's fine. I feel that way, too. I'm not holding my breath for it because I know it's not going to happen. Like, she's not going to beat both of them to win the belt. Even though everyone that watched that match on Sunday or last Sunday thought that was a fantastic match.
Yep.
And one of the best Divas matches they've had this year.
Yep.
Nah. They still, even though it's clear that she's a freak athlete.
No shot.
Nope.
No shot.
I mean, she's got a shot. I just ain't gonna bet on that shot. That's all.
It's sad. And
those
little
breaks.
Look, and she just gets lumped in with the rest of the, you know, the Total Divas cast, and the Total Divas get a lot of shit, pretty much. You know, from the internet wrestling.
How much is this, right? How many good female wrestlers do they have, do you think, off the top of your... Just name them out.
Okay. Paige.
Yeah.
Naomi.
Yeah.
Alicia Fox.
Yeah.
Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
Brie Bella.
Yeah.
Natalya.
Yeah.
Charlotte.
She's not on the roster yet.
All right. Who else? Summer's okay.
No, I would count Summer.
AJ. People would say.
Yeah.
I don't personally see it, but who else was in that battle royal? Because I'd be forgetting. Like,
all right, well, basically, you may say all the ones that I would even bother naming, right? The majority of them are all total divas. So what are we talking about here?
What do you mean?
How many females, good female wrestlers you say you just named that were on the roster? You named, what, seven?
Yeah.
Four of them are total divas.
So, you know.
So my question is, what are we talking about here?
What we're talking about is them just saying, you know, they're just a TV show and they're just a gimmick, but they're really not. And they don't ever get, you know, their proper credit.
Agreed.
And it's interesting. Like, it's interesting to see why they don't get their proper credit.
Look, given the fan base, given the demographics of
they see who watches the
shows, given the demographics who watches this show, and given how this society works, they're never going to get their due. They're never going to get their due that they deserve. This segment of entertainment is basically, you know,
the piss break.
That too. But they really lived along the lines of like embarrassing women.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they in turn like, oh yeah, they're really good at this crap as well. We're going to give them the respect they deserve. That was never going to happen, Rich.
Nah, that's not the thing I'm going for. What I'm saying is like that sect of fans that buries, you know, anyone that's on the cast of Total Divas, like they're not good performers or anything like that.
But they ride
up and down for, you know, Paige and AJ and
that's,
you know,
cool.
All that.
Because they're quote unquote real. That's like the lead.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like, that's like the lead of Trish Stratus thing. Like, yeah, that's cool. Like, Lita's out here doing flat ass moonsaults, almost breaking her neck every time. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, that actually happened.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just interesting with that. Open your minds, people. That's all I'm asking you to do.
And look, man, people like what they like, and you know, that's fine. But like, I don't understand how people can't look into like, yeah, I have a bias here. I don't know why do I have this feeling, this visceral reaction, as opposed to like. Take it into while there's people like she's like Nikki and Brie Bella clearly are better wrestlers than they were 3 years ago.
They act like they haven't.
They're clearly good wrestlers now. Like, you look at Naomi. You name me another female that's out here doing suicide dive crossbodies
over the top rope outside the ring.
Yeah, split leg moonsaults. I don't see any of them on the WWE television. I just don't.
Nope. So moving forward,
if you like small white girls that like they're, you know, barely legal, that's fine. But if Paige can wrestle her ass off, AJ, I think she's a good wrestler, and I'll leave it at that. I don't think they're the best wrestlers on the roster. I think they're some of the best wrestlers on the roster, and I think they're good enough to where they deserve to be where they're at. But like some of the. The way people are caping up for them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's mind-boggling, bro. Like, it's...
I don't know. And to be honest with you, the best wrestler on the roster probably still Natalya. Still.
Swaggerless. But
we don't hear about that. You talk about, she is swaggerless, but we don't talk about, you know, the excellence of her. Meanwhile, like, she's just as good as the mic as Paige from what she displayed the other week.
Yeah. The storyline with her and Tyson Kidd that's going on in NXT is pretty interesting. I know you're not a huge, you know, viewer of NXT, but
basically
he's becoming like the jealous husband and
because of the match.
Yeah, a lot of shit, and they chant, you know, Natty's husband, and we killed him at NXT. Like, I can't wait to go back this month, and you know when he's there, just to boo Tyson Kidd. It's so fun.
Did you add it to the cheers?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You're a jerk.
Ain't I? But that's going to wrap up this segment of One Nation Radio. We'll be back to talk about the main event, like Seth Rollins and John Cena, and we'll probably get into some other fuck shit. But this is One Nation.
I woke up this morning.
And welcome back to One Nation Radio.
You want
to
use it as a topic, don't you? I was alone. All right, we'll get to it at the end.
Yeah. You know, our third segment, everybody, it tends to get, you know, we go off the rails.
It's where fuckery ensues.
Yeah. The fuckery segment. We need to name this segment. Not the fuckery segment. But we need to come up with something, you know. Send us name suggestions for our third segment. You know. No holes barred. Something,
no,
I don't know.
Barred?
Yeah, no holes barred.
How camp are you? How corny are you?
You know.
Boy.
You know.
Look, you'll be the second person. You'll be the second brother that's been called a cornball today, famously.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, third segment, you know, we ever get someone to, you know, email us questions and we answer them, that'd be a time we would do it as well.
Yeah.
But,
just waiting on y'all.
Yeah.
I'm about to start making these up myself.
Y'all can listen. Y'all want to listen, but y'all don't want to ever, you know,
yeah,
hit back.
It's like we got consistent, you know, numbers from these certain areas. I'm like, you know, Wichita, Kansas, whoever you are, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, all y'all. We know y'all listening.
Oh, yeah, all y'all OPEC nations.
Yeah.
All y'all,
all y'all out there in the UK. We know y'all listening to One Nation Radio. I can tell. I can see the stats. They fucking exist.
All right, well, I mean, where do you want to go?
All right, first let's talk about, you know, this. Is Seth Rollins going to threaten to cash in every week?
I don't know if they're trying to pop the ratings. I don't know what they're doing. Like, they just like, yeah, we're going to bring – last night I was like, ain't no chance in hell that they're going to cash in.
Like, yeah, after they got the main event book, yeah, fucking right.
Yeah,
like
what's up you play me for?
If it ain't a pay-per-view or the night after a pay-per-view, they're not cashing in. Remember that.
Well, unless there's like a long layoff to where it's pretty – like if they have five Raws between shows, and yeah, because, you know, they always treat like that fourth one like a pay-per-view almost or something like that, or the third one. But that don't happen no more like that.
They got to stop letting them in, you know, attempt to cash in every night.
They'll figure something out. That man's not cashing until like long time from now.
That man's gonna October.
You know what's really gonna happen? He's gonna cash in on Orton, and they gonna screw Orton. That's what's gonna happen.
I think we talked about that. We had a conversation about that one time.
Was it on air or no?
I'm not sure.
Orton's gonna
turn face off this shit.
It's not gonna be on Cena. I know that much.
Orton's gonna turn face off.
You can't explain that. Like, if he could be Cena now, he should be able to beat Rollins. Like,
yeah.
I don't see it, but you say you don't have a championship look.
Yeah, I just, like, don't, no one believes him. Like, I don't feel like.
I mean, he has to prove himself. He has to, like, you know, he has to win this feud with Ambrose, or he has to, you know,
look very good.
Have a good showing the way they like their actual, you know, peers. Because remember, he was, for the longest, he was the third guy.
Mm-hmm.
This elevated him to be the second guy, but he still has to prove himself. And personally, I think all three of those guys are going to be fantastic, but he's going to need to hold this thing for a while to keep some, you know, keep something to look forward to.
Yeah, and he's going to have to, what he has to do, what they need to showcase him as, is pretty much the new age Bret Hart, but as a heel. Like, they need to have him wrestling all types of different guys throughout the whole roster. Be like, yeah, Rollins can pretty much do everything, you know, and let him showcase
solo.
It. Yeah, let him showcase it. Like, and be like, you know, this is what I'm going to do this month. You know, I'm about to beat on this guy. You know, I'm going to go out, you know, this month with Ziggler. You know, next month I want Big E. You know, just keep, you know,
I'm going to have a TV program with Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, you know.
I get you.
And really, like, let him, you know, build more credibility, like, as a singles star. Because
I'll fight Swagger.
Yeah, whoever, you know. You know, it's open challenge.
The newly minted face Swagger.
Right. You know, all y'all inner xenophobes out there.
Oh, yeah. We never really touched upon that in the first two segments about Swagger. Why wasn't he on the show?
Well,
one,
Jack Swagger is known to have, you know, he has legal troubles.
Yeah, he's on papers. He's on probation. I know there are work exceptions. I mean, but
I don't think Canada's down with that. They wouldn't let him in.
It's not on Canada. It's on being let out to do it. So it's on his PO.
Hmm. Then he also in Canada, the whole "We the People" thing. I don't think it necessarily works as well.
I mean,
talking about, you know, you're a real American, you know how they used to treat us in Montreal.
Well, you mentioned that, and I was like, yeah, that's a good point. But for me, I think they would have toned it down to where they still would have cheered him. Mm-hmm. Like, he goes out there and he fights someone, and he does, you know, he does the hand, because that still gets, regardless of wherever that is, like, I think that would still play out. People, like, it's something that, it's similar to the yes chant.
Right.
Hill or faith, people want to do it. And you just have him wrestle, and you just don't let Zeb talk in terms of America. All you have to do is have him cut a promo talking about how much the same tie that Canada has, or the same values that Canada has, similar to those of America, and we love you, just don't come across our borders. Like, illegally, that's all. And we don't really have problems with this border. We have problems with the other border.
I had called you on the phone the other day, but you had asked me, you had told me you were going to hit me back. I was going to ask you. Nah. I was going to ask you, have you heard about Santino Marella's retirement?
What?
Yeah. And I haven't brought it up to you until now for a reason. Over the weekend at a house show, apparently Santino Marella announced his retirement. Not a work. He had another neck injury, and he's done in WWE. Wow. And he might be transitioning to, like, another, like, role on screen or something. I know you've always been, you know, a huge Santino fan. Like, he announced it, and they didn't say a thing about
he
it on Monday Night Raw.
Show?
They did it at
TV?
A house show, yeah. Apparently he's from Canada, so he did it, like, you know, in Toronto. They were in, you know.
Because they couldn't do it in Montreal, right?
I don't know.
That's garbage.
But, talk about, you know, Santino, you know.
I mean, he's just, okay. Vince, in the words of Vince, is not wrestling. It's sports. He's not in the wrestling business. He's in the entertainment business. And obviously, a lot of people had issues, and, you know, rightfully so, with what they did with, like, the new generation after Hogan and Macho Man left for WCW.
Mm-hmm.
Or left and ended up on WCW with, you know, a lot of, like, the tired, over-the-top gimmicks, like the doinks.
Mm-hmm.
The Undertaker that so happened to work, Duke the Dumpster Drozzy, all that kind of stuff. King Mabel, Men on a Mission, all of that kind of stuff that just was so camp and just didn't work out and too corny.
Mm-hmm.
Me, like, for Santino, if you're a kid and you see the stuff he does, that stuff's going to put a smile on your face. And it was just, he was just so funny. And he did his job, and it did everything he was supposed to do. And that's the best you can ask. And even while being this, you know, absurd character, he, you know, whether it was, you know, the winning the Divas Battle Royal at WrestleMania 25, or, you know, doing whatever, he made the best of it. Like, he put Cesaro over. I forgot what match he had. He had a cage match with somebody.
He was in the Elimination Chamber, where it looked like
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
He was in the Final Four. He was in the Final Two.
Two. The Royal Rumble that Del Rio won. If people think he was actually going to throw his ass.
And Santino, he's funny as hell. The trumpet celebration will never get old. I hope he's still around, you know, to randomly come out and, you know, do his comedy segments. But this does mean the end of the great, you know, Santino, Great Khali tag team, you know, that was always around.
Yeah. Sad times.
You know.
Sure.
No,
very, very sad times.
You know, Santino and Emma, you know.
Yeah, that ain't happening. You know, this is... That's over. You know, she got fired and rehired. And he's retired.
Yeah.
Now, for me, the Cobra. Like, this is the funniest thing ever. Like, this dude, he's clearly a jobber. And that's his job. He's a jobber that's entertaining. He did his job, especially for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out there, and you already know, you finna entertain. He pulls out that Cobra. You don't know how that Cobra reacts. You pull, you know.
Yeah.
you know, ready to strike at any time.
Anytime.
And, I mean, he was just a funny dude, and it can't all just, we can't have a whole roster of 100 Roman Reigns. And we got to break up some of that.
That'd be a badass roster, though.
We got to break up
women
some,
everywhere melting.
We got a
whole bunch of wetness coming through the curtain. Precipitation.
Well, I'm not even going to get into that. You can take that. You can
I just
take
meant
that
him being wet.
You can take that
curtain.
Analogy wherever you want to. I'm not going there with you. But you know,
Jim Cornette once slapped Santino.
How did that go for Cornette?
Jim Cornette was immediately fired afterward.
That happened like backstage.
Yeah.
You know, Santino would have whooped his ass.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was like. How did that really go after? You know, but salute to him. He's always a guy that, you know, that I enjoy seeing on screen because he was just funny. Now, I know some people think, you know, the only thing that should be on wrestling is wrestling, but, like, you got to break it up some.
If you're down with that, go ahead and watch the AWA or WCCW. You can go pull that up on the network, you know. But, what have you watched on the network recently, James?
Jeez, man. I watched. It was Bad Blood. Not Bad Blood. Vengeance? It was Randy Orton's first title run. What pay per view was that? It was 07.
No Mercy.
No Mercy, that's right. Because I can't remember all the freaking. You know.
We weren't watching
it. Yeah, I was watching it, so I always, you know. And, you know, it was the last week or 2 weeks ago, I basically asked you, you know, there have been 44 champions, name all of them, whatever.
Yes, that was quite an exercise.
Yeah, so, you know, we both did a pretty good job, but...
Stan fucking Stajak.
Is it Stajak or Stajak?
Stajak, something.
It's spelled Stajak. So,
spelled exactly anyway. How it sounds.
Yeah, so, anyway, so, I'm just seeing, just watching the first time, and I'm like, they just handed him the word. Like, yes. I find that funny in retrospect. He's absolutely hilarious. And, you know, at the beginning of the match, they have, like a 14-minute match, and Triple H wins the belt by rolling up Orton. He rolled him up.
Yep, Triple H got a title reign off of that.
Like, he moved out the way when Orton was about to shoulder block him in the, was about to, like, tackle him in the midsection in the corner in the turnbuckle. He moves out the way. He basically, his shoulder hits the post in the back, and he rolls him up from there. And 1, 2, 3, championship.
I'm sure that's a play on Orton's shoulder injuries.
Yeah. At the same time, this ain't Survivor Series.
You know, getting beat on a snapmare.
Yeah.
You know. Survivor Series eliminations, you know, we clothesline a bitch. That's it.
Like a bitch get beat with a sunset flip. Last person get beat with a sunset flip was Bret Hart.
Nah, Kofi beat out Cesaro with a sunset flip.
What?
A couple weeks ago, yeah. All
right.
I want to say.
You want to ruin my joke.
Yeah, you know.
Joke. Anyway, all right, so what else you want
to
talk about?
Bret Hart was known
man?
To get rolled up on some fuck shit.
He was known to roll people up, too. After getting dominated the entire match, rolls up Diesel at Survivor Series.
Yeah, you know. Don't forget who did you the favor.
95. Wow.
That's always the weird story about that match. Yeah.
What else you had? None?
I was watching a whole bunch of 1996. You know, that's my era. 96, 97, you know, late New Generation era. I was watching International Incident. Psycho Sid versus Ahmed Johnson, Shawn Michaels versus Camp Cornette, which is Owen Hart, Bulldog, and Vader. And they let Vader get the pin on Shawn. And Sid comes out and cuts these absurd promos. Ahmed Johnson just looks so, like, bro, Ahmed Johnson should have fucking worked, bro. Like, I'm still a huge fan of Ahmed Johnson till this day. It was pretty, you know, easy to become a fan of him as a kid.
Here's the thing. Whenever they finally ever decide to get around to actually putting all the Raws and all the Nitros on the network,
mm-hmm.
we'll see what happened with these guys and why, like, because the memory works fuzzy. I remember Ahmed Johnson being like, yeah, he's going to be, like, a champion. And then, I don't know what happened. He got injured.
Like, he had the kidney thing, and then he gained a bunch of weight after. And he was never the same. They went to WCW, and then he joined, like, Harlem Heat or something like that.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course he did. I wonder if that was his idea or whether they're like, hey, how about you join...
And they called him Big T, and that's when they were doing the feud with him and Booker for the rights to the letter T, you know, WCW, you know. Why? Because WCW.
Hey, remember what they almost put him in as their original gimmick for Harlem?
You know, Kane and Cole, slaves in the early 90s.
Were they slaves or inmates?
They were slaves.
But they were inmates.
No, Colonel Parker won them boys in a blackjack game or some shit like that.
Wow.
Slaves. Yeah. Slaves. You know, Kane and Cole. Called him Cole because he was black as coal, quote unquote. Spelled with a K. K-O-L-E. Luckily, they let them change their names to Booker T and Stevie Ray. You know, I don't think Cole would have taken off as much as Booker T. James is shaking his head in disbelief right now.
That's worse than what I thought it was. I thought it was they were black inmates and basically working at like in a rural penitentiary, and they were on some like work release type thing, and they were in chains. That's what I thought it was. I know they were actual slaves.
Yeah.
That's worse than what I thought it was. It's more racist than I thought it was.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And Colonel Parker was like pretty much a slave master.
Yeah. I thought it was originally like they were supposed to be inmates on a rural thing, and like the implicit thing there with Colonel Parker, so like it's implied slavery without actually being like verbalized to, you know, actually be on TV without getting pulled off.
Right.
That's what I thought it was. But what you're saying is, nah, y'all gonna have to come take our shit off the air. Like that's basically what they said. Y'all gonna have to take our shit off the air. We give no fucks.
Alright.
This is Atlanta, damn it.
ACL.
Well, now is the suburbs of Atlanta, but whatever. Cobb County.
So, looking forward to SummerSlam. Probably looking at Cena versus Lesnar in the main event. I'm sure some...
You just going to skip ahead of a pay-per-view?
I mean, no. Battleground's going to be all right.
I've
come around in this hour.
Look, man.
Like, Battleground's going to be all right.
It's going to be good because they're going to have... They're already setting up this whole Jericho thing with Wyatt. If not, then he's going to have Miz, and those two can put on a good match. You already have this Fatal 4-Way match, and you already know, you know, the Wyatts and the Usos are going to do is going to be fantastic.
Yes.
And they, you know, they pretty much have the two top divas at the time, right, as of right now.
Yeah.
They're on a collision course. Somehow, some way, something's going to happen. So... Like, I mean, and if not, I guess the only thing you can do is, if they don't do that, they'll have, like, a tag match between AJ and Paige versus Naomi and Nikki. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But...
It's going to be a good pay-per-view. And another thing is, like, they have to have a good pay-per-view because the subscriptions, the 6-month subscriptions are turning over. So that's another reason why I feel like they're doing, like, the 6 months.
Yeah.
The trial.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. This time you don't even have to...
That goes along with, you know, showing this Monday Night Wars thing, which is more of an incentive for people to actually, you know, hop on this thing so more people can come in and then people want to renew.
Yep.
Because a lot of people, me specifically, like, I still don't have the network for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to buy the network, and I said to you, I'm not buying the network until they put up Monday Night Wars or / put up Nitro, because that's what I want to watch.
Right.
Like, I want to watch all of this stuff and remember, like, so I can go backtrack and be like, well, hey, this is what happened, this is what I missed, this is what I don't remember as well, and trying to fill in the blanks. Until then, I'm not doing it. I watched it. I use it almost every day.
Right.
I'm not paying for it. Nope.
We won't disclose how, you know.
You're damn right we're not.
You know.
You're correct.
You got to find your own connect.
Yeah.
With what did you think of that Monday Night Wars documentary they were showing?
It looked like something I had seen before. I mean, they may have aired something like that before. maybe on the network at the beginning.
Like, mind you, like, but the 50 years of WWE and the death of WCW video, it was like a hybrid of that.
Yeah, yeah, maybe like, that's what it was. It made everything seem like the same, but at the same time, like, they can do that every single year and bring in new people to talk about the same exact thing, and I watch it over and over.
Yeah.
I don't, like...
Are they missing the boat with, like, the network? Could they be using the network? Could it be a more powerful tool for WWE to promote their storylines and everything else?
They run a risk of storylines having to be fully explained over again on air, just the same way things do on SmackDown. They have to re-explain things that happen on SmackDown that people miss. So if it's on the network, it's even less visible. Mm-hmm. For me, I think the tool for WWE that they're missing out on is if you are a casual fan and people like one show that will make a million, like so much sense would be if they brought back Legends of Wrestling and revamped it towards a roundtable discussion. And they bring in like we talked about before. They bring in a current wrestler X plus two a wrestler from the Attitude Era / New Generations Era. From like the Monday Night Wars era, yeah. You also bring in a legend from
like Dusty and Michael Hayes.
From what? You bring in like Michael Hayes to be there at all times. You have JR comment be the mediator, and you also bring an 80s star, whether it's Flair or Steamboat or it's Hogan or whoever.
And we need like an enforcer type dude to make sure like
nobody
comes and you know kicking that fuck shit. You know, but hold on, bro. That didn't happen. Like,
one of my favorite episodes was the Flair ones. Because Flair just running roughshod over everybody. He's talking when people are also trying to talk. Like, Oakland or Ross, can't remember. Both of them are trying to know. Actually, it was both of them. Flair and Oakland were both there. Oakland and Ross were both there. And Oakland was actually the mediator. And Ross was just there on the part of the panel. And he's running roughshod over Oakland. Oakland can't do none to rein Flair in. He's going off, and it's fantastic.
I like that one.
They're fantastic. There's two of them. I believe in that one. It's Oakland, Taz, Foley maybe, Ross and Flair, and pretty much the whole time it's Flair like talking to Taz about the good old days, and then Taz just sitting there like. That sounds fantastic. Like, this sounds awesome. And I'm sitting there like, I'm watching like, this is awesome, and I'm watching him think that it's awesome.
Right.
Like, such a dweeb. I feel like they should bring that show back. And all you have to do is talk about all different topics and bring up, rehash same topics with just new people talking about it.
Mm-hmm. And just give everyone's, you know, perspectives.
Like, they did one for Canada, and they had Pat Patterson, and they had, Bret Hart there.
Like, let's get Jericho on.
Let's get Jericho and Edge and Christian or, you know, more, like people, you know, and it will work. Lance Storm maybe.
Yeah, he's a big presence on Twitter like every Monday night pretty much. Storm is out there. Shout out to Lance Storm.
I mean, I feel like enough people will watch it. I mean, as much as anything else they put up. I mean, besides maybe Legends House. But, yeah. Like, I think it will get as much views as, like, a countdown show.
Yeah, yeah. Also, like we were talking earlier with what the fuck is up with their programming? Like, they just like skip weeks. Like, the WrestleMania rewind this week was CM Punk, his Money in the Bank 24 and 25 wins. We hadn't seen a new one since the Guerrero one,
and that was like 17.
Yeah, like, who's running this shit? Like,
I mean, I don't know if it's because, okay, and normally WrestleMania rewinds are on Tuesdays, right?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming what they do is they build up main event Tuesday, then WrestleMania rewind and countdown.
Yeah.
On the like half hour show, or sorry, hour show and a half hour show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why they don't block it differently with their prime time slotting, because 8 o'clock is main event. Then you just make 9 o'clock be WrestleMania rewind, and that's hour long, and then you make countdown.
Do that shit. The
you make count. Day. You make countdown as its own primetime slot.
Yeah.
As opposed to make
that, that's kind of hard. That's kind of hard to get through.
What?
Like you might fall
two and
asleep.
A half. 2.5 hours. Well, I mean, it's just like any other channel.
Mm-hmm.
Their prime time is 8 to 10.
Yeah.
It's that 2-hour block, and that's how it works. and that's how they roll over. They're giving too much on one particular day when they can roll over and make it more of an event. Like for me, pretty much for network purposes, the 2 days to actually check in and actually watch the actual stream is Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. The main event / rewind or countdown, and then because Legend House off. What day did Legend House used to come on?
Thursday.
So then it'll be
now it's Total Divas.
Legends House or Total Divas /NXT. Those mm-hmm. be those are 2 days to watch the network. Like they need to do stuff to make it to where they can. It's a more than one reason to watch on those other than those 2 days. They need to make it to where
they need to have like a big Saturday night thing.
I understand you don't want Monday and Friday to be days where you watch, but that means you still have Wednesday left.
Yeah,
you have to fill it.
They can afford like Wednesday to go because they got their two live shows in NXT, and then I think they should attack Saturday. A lot for the younger crowd, you know, they're not, you know, going out on
weekends. Saturday morning.
They can do that. They can do it whether Saturday morning or they can, you know, Saturday night. No one has to get up for school back when school starts.
Well, typically speaking, when it comes to an actual TV channel, you put all your best programs and stuff you want to be watching, and stuff you need to get the most eyes, is going to be on prime time slot, when everyone's off work, before people go to sleep. Between Monday through Friday, and you typically don't want to put stuff on Friday. You definitely want to put anything on Friday or Monday because you have shows on actual cable.
Yeah.
You don't do that. That's stupid. So the weekends, once every 4 weekends, you have a pay-per-view, so you don't want to really fuck with that. So you're stuck with, like, put Countdown on Wednesday. Just build a Wednesday. People watch.
Yeah. The reason I say Saturday too is because they don't have to play by the rules like of a regular network because they're not a regular network. They're like a digital format. They have all their own commercials. They're not, you know, paying for anyone to do anything. So, you know, just to kind of build it, you know, you can show your weekend review thing with WWE and
oh yeah, they can do that
and do all that stuff. And then do, like, some type of special event at
what was
night.
What was the weekend recap show they used to have?
Weekend WWE.
That's what it was called?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, no, when I was a kid, it was LiveWire.
Yeah, LiveWire.
They needed to bring back Todd Pettengill,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, you'd be like Pettengill, then it was Coachman.
Yeah.
They were probably, I think Michael Cole maybe had it between those two guys.
Something like that. They should bring that back.
Yeah, I believe it was Pettengill, then, I'm probably misremembering, but I remember Pettengill being one of the people. I remember Coachman being one of those people, and I also remember Michael Cole being one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Michael Cole was super skinny and had like dyed frosted tips.
Oh my gosh!
Looking like a middle-aged
Backstreet Boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're a little bit over. We're about an hour and 7 minutes in. We're gonna wrap up One Nation Radio. So WWE.
Well, before we do that, wasn't there a game you wanted to play?
I'm lost.
There was a game you wanted to play between. What was it? Oh, it was about Brett. It was a game we were going to play about Brett. I forgot how you were going to frame the game. It was something about Brett being basically bitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how it's supposed to work, but
okay.
You're supposed to clown or what,
like,
how it's supposed
yes.
to work.
Brett, you know, Brett Hart, I read his book, and he's very much a serious guy, as everyone can, you know, see with the 4 out of 10 memes. You know, Brett's never really impressed by much. You know, We could picture Bret Hart going back and watching WrestleMania 13 and thinking Stone Cold could have done better. You know, as you said, you know, Bret Hart watched the Iron Man match.
Yeah,
you know.
Bret Hart. Yeah, I said on Twitter last night, like Bret Hart rewatches the Iron Man match and has regrets. and I don't mean as far as like what led to the whole year after that, and him, you know, his departure from the company. I mean, like, damn, like. I probably could have made that kick look more realistic. Like that
yeah.
kind of thing. I could have made that stomach punch look more realistic.
Yeah. You know, Bret Hart, you know, thinks the British Bulldog, you know, didn't give a great effort.
Yeah. He still like me and you were talking about it was probably beginning of last year.
Bret Hart was furious watching the ladder match at WrestleMania 10.
I think about it. We were talking about this beginning of or towards the end of last year, and I was just watching all those like 94, all those like early to mid 90s Bret Hart classic matches. Mm-hmm. Whether it was the cage match with Owen, or it was his two WrestleMania matches, or it was, and this is all on YouTube before the network came out, or this was even the match he had with Shawn, or the match he had with Razor Ramon at Royal Rumble, or both in Survivor Series, or backwards respectively, so, or invert respectively, whatever. I basically said, like, yeah, man, this, he's so good. Like, you forget, because it's been 20 years, and, you know, I was a kid when these happened, and I haven't watched them since. Like, you forget how freaking good that dude was. So, and you talk about how bitter he was, and, you know, you go over it. We always made the joke that Bret Hart is Nas.
Yeah.
So you just imagine that he's always on that continual sourpuss at all times.
Yeah. Because he probably feels like he never really got his just due. Because
five-time champion.
Yeah, they were always coming for his head, pretty much. They were always trying to replace him. Like they were trying to push Lex Luger instead of him, you know.
Diesel.
after that, yeah, they make him lose the belt. Well, he spun it like, you know, it was a transition thing, but they tried to Big Daddy Cool Diesel shit. They end up replacing him with Shawn Michaels. He's tasked with getting Stone Cold over, which he really wasn't excited about, you know, to start with. You know, I got to go out there with the ringmaster, pretty much. You know, like, what can I do with him? And then Shawn Michaels famously said, you know, tear the house down. You know?
Well, that was after they had already had a feud, and then they had to, like, trump it back up because,
yeah,
like, Shawn late, like, handed the belt over. You know?
Yeah. You know, Shawn Michaels in 1997, that's a whole other, you know, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Single-handedly, you know, altered the course of wrestling history, you know, in more ways than one.
Yep.
But we'll get to that on another day.
Like, my whole thing is this. Like, they were going through the whole entire, and we'll get to the Bret being a soccer scene in a second. Now I'm thinking about it. So, I don't know how much money Shawn was making, but if Shawn lost his smile and he actually couldn't wrestle, then doesn't that mean you have the money to actually pay Bret to stay?
Bret Hart was already making the most money of anyone anyway.
No. But the whole thing was, we're coming to a collision course with him leaving for WCW because we gave him this guaranteed contract and we can't pay him. Well, if the number 1/2 guy at this point can't wrestle anymore and lost his smile and retired, my point would be that if he retired, you don't have to pay him anymore, so that money should go to Bret.
They were still, this isn't something they did with a lot of guys, obviously. They were still paying Shawn Michaels like $35,000 a week, I want to say.
My thing is this.
Just to get him.
Did they know? But the thing is this: if he wasn't,
did they know it was bullshit?
At what point did they know? Like, all right, Shawn's coming back, or yeah, we can't be paying you no more, bro, because you're not wrestling. And then if that was the case, Shawn was actually gone, then that means Bret should have been able to stay. You know what I'm saying?
The real question is, how did Vince McMahon cry financial peril in 1997? And then all of a sudden, the calendar rolls over to 1998. He finds $3 million out of thin air to give to Mike Tyson. That's the real question.
Well, I don't think it was a thing of I can't pay Bret no more. It's I don't think I can pay Bret in the coming years that's left on the deal. Because how long was that deal?
He signed a 20-year deal, but...
Exactly.
But it wasn't for that amount of money. Like, the $3 million was like... The 20-year deal wasn't... It wasn't more than $5 million or something like that. Because it was set up like where, A, you would get this amount of money for the next 3 years. And then you would, like, step into a backstage role.
So
and it would
like,
drop.
So
it would be like $500,000 a year. Something like that. Like, over the next 10. Like, it's something like that. So, he could have did it. But that I just always find that interesting, you know. A couple months later, you know, yeah, we going to throw $3 million out there for Mike Tyson. So, you know, Vince won, but it's just interesting.
I don't know what the buy rates were, but I'm assuming, like, yeah, like, I got this guy that's shooting up the stars,
mm-hmm.
And, like, I just got, like, this dude that just got done biting a person's ear off and is just probably the biggest star in sports, and it's WrestleMania. Like, yeah, I kind of have to take this shot.
Yep.
Like, I kind of have this free money laying around that I was expecting to use on Bret Hart that I have, like, money that I can just throw towards Tyson now.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's how it worked. Like, it's almost like, yeah, this dude just signed somewhere else as a free agent that had cap room.
Yeah.
I want to go spend it on
that's
somebody.
Funny. That's
it's kind of like that now. But, I mean...
That just comes up to the point we always make. How the fuck did WCW lose? Like,
yeah, how did they lose?
But that's going to wrap up One Nation Radio for this week. Unless we come together and do another show, I'm now going on vacation for my job after one more day. So you might see a couple more shows. You might see some, you know, try to land some interviews and, you know, have more guests on the show.
Yeah. The guests got to be on Skype, though. You got to make sure they ain't catfishing us.
Yeah. You know who you are.
Yeah.
Sierra.
No, Sierra. Yeah, Sierra. Sierra. Oh, Sierra, here it is. Know who you're talking about. Shout out to Sierra. We're going to push you up on the Skype.
Yeah. But. this is One Nation Radio. James, you got anything else to say?
Nah, man, I'm out.
And I'm just going to enjoy the network until it's time to go to work tomorrow.
Later.
This is One Nation Radio.